Could I just say thank you very much to the ladies in the choir? I was going to say the girls. Your pieces that you sang were beautiful. Thank you very much indeed. Hope you bear with me now as I share just some thoughts with you. I was talking to the children about being complete and being complete in the Lord. And we're going to look together first at, there are three things I want to look at. We'll get this on. And first of all, I want to look at the God who created us, created by a God, then called by God, and then commissioned by God. Because each one of us as Christians are told to be a follower and a witness. So those are the three headings I'm going to use. First of all, we have created. Created by God. What are we created to do? Well, first of all, we could say, are we created to love him? Well, yes, we are. And we do read in Deuteronomy 6 and 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So that quite obviously is something that we have to do. Or is it created to serve him? In Acts 17 and 25, we read, he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So is it to serve him? Or is it to obey him? We find in Acts 5 and 29, we must obey God rather than men. Or is it to glorify him? In 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, we read, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And you know, sometimes people will say, you're told to do all those things as Christians. What kind of a God have you? Well, you know something? Our God has no unmet need. I can use the illustration at the minute because Luke, my grandchild, is 10 weeks old. And he's perfect as far as I'm concerned. His parents might say something different in the middle of the night. But when I see him, he's perfect. And I thought of all these things that we're told to do for God. And I thought, well, look at a young couple who are having a child. And I thought, why are they having that child? Is it because they need someone to love them? Is it because, well, that child can do things for us, they can serve us? Or let's have that child to boss them around. Or let's have that child so that we can get the praise from their success. Well, we know that's not the case. Why did Peter and Lucy have a lovely baby? Because they had such an abundance of love in their marriage that they wanted to share it. So let's have a child who will look like us, who will have our life within them, who will love like us. And you know, to me, that is an illustration of our Creator God. That's what he created us, so that he could share the love. Not to give us a list of things that we needed to do. He wanted to share the abundance of love that he had with us. It's the couple's pure love that motivates them to give a child life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13 and 5 about love. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's our God. And that's what we're told to follow and do and be involved in. God is the giver and man is the receiver. And we find that in Acts 17:28. and going on from what a young couple want to show, that pure love. It is God's pure love that motivates him to give us life. And we know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I heard a phrase recently which it struck me as being so true. And the phrase is, God gives and forgives, we get and forget. And isn't that so true? We have a God who has given us everything that we could ever ask for. So we are created by a loving God who wants to share that love. As well as being created, we are called. And he calls us. We read in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. And I think this is the most beautiful verse. Before I made you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. Now, that was a message for Jeremiah all those years ago. But, you know, it's the same message for us today. We sang with the children about being special. Because we are, each and every one of us, are special to God. And he has a place for us. He has chosen us. He has created us to love him, to serve him, to glorify him, to obey him. God calls us to love and follow him. We find that in 1 John 3 and 1. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. It's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus that we can know forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. Ephesians 2 and 8 tells us, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God. There's nothing that we can do that will save anybody. It all comes from God. Recently, I met a girl from our area, and she has the most wonderful testimony. She was a girl who had no church background. She was a drinking girl. She was a party girl. And that was her life. And she had a boyfriend. And he joined her in that life. And she was in a job. She had no contact with Christians except for the girl who was her boss. And Jude was leaving her job, and her boss, who was a Christian, gave her a gift. And in the bag was a Gideon's New Testament with the Psalms. And she took it home and put it in a drawer. And one evening when she was feeling really down, Jude decided to take this Bible out. And she opened up the first page and it said, read a portion every day. And Jude read a portion every day. And she started with the Psalms. And one evening she was sitting and she got to Psalm 23. And came to the verse, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And it was as if the Spirit suddenly was prompting her to say, I'm not satisfied with my life. And she was troubled, but she didn't know what to do. And one evening, Stephen, her boyfriend, arrived in, and they were going to go out for their usual party night. But Jude said, Stephen, I don't want to go out tonight. I am really troubled. And she shared this verse with him. What can I do? Where can I go? Who's going to help me? And you know, Stephen had been a Christian when he was younger. And 11 years, he had fallen away from God. And he sat down with Jude that evening. And he said to her, you know, Jude, there's only one person can help you. And he told her about the cross, and he told her about God's love. He told her about Jesus. And then he went home. And when he arrived home, his parents were so surprised. They were Christians. And walking by them, he said, please pray for my girlfriend. Now, they were delighted. They didn't know he had a girlfriend, but they were delighted he'd used the word pray. And that night, Jude gave her life to the Lord. Next day, she was going away to a conference with work. And at that conference, she knew she would have to drink. Well, that was the norm. But every night, for those 3 nights, she was at a round table and a spare seat beside her. And she held her hand in that seat and knew that the Lord was with her. And when she came home, Stephen came round and she said, "Stephen, I have something to tell you. I have given my life to the Lord." And Stephen said, "Jude, I have something to tell you. I have come back to the Lord." 14 years on, they are a very active Christian couple in their church. Nobody really had anything to do with Jude's conversion except the Holy Spirit, who prompted through word and prompted through Stephen. How wonderful God is to come and do that. That's the God we have. Jude's testimony is wonderful. God calls us to be loved and to love, and he calls us to serve others for him. I think I've gone off here. He calls us to serve others for him. Ephesians 6 and 7. God created us, he called us, and he commissioned us. Commissioned by God to what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not called to go overseas, but what I am called is to serve God where I'm at, with my family, with my community, and within my church. And that's the same for every Christian. We are called to serve him where we're at. Our response to God's love, I think the most important one, is to obey. When we receive God's grace within our lives, we must obey. And we have got to use what God has given us to work for him. As Christians, we have no other option. We have to do it. If we love as God wants us to love, obedience will be a natural response. But we need to know the word before we can obey the word. So we must have that daily time with God. We must learn and grow and know who he is and what he's done for us before we can share with others. But you know, self often gets in the way. I'll do it my way. And I admit that even yet, I still am learning that lesson. I ask God for something and he's not doing it quickly enough. So I try and do it myself. It doesn't work. But I was reminded of a story of an incident which you all are aware of. Chernobyl, 1986. 55,000 people had to be moved from their homes. 93,000, they say, have died from cancer. What happened? An unauthorized experiment, trying to see how long a turbine would freewheel when they took the power off. They had to override manually 6 separate computers driven by alarm systems, saying, "Stop, dangerous, go no further." But they kept going, disobeyed what they were supposed to do. And from that, what can we learn? Disobedience has consequences. If we disobey God, we have to suffer what God brings upon us. He will reject us. He wants us to obey him and do his will. Jesus says in John 15:14, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." And there's a warning in Ezekiel 3 and 18. And it's for Christians to really take heed. "If you do not warn them or speak out, I will hold you accountable." We have to, as Christians, speak for Jesus. We have to share, even in the simplest forms, about who and what Jesus has done for us. Our call to salvation included our call to service. There are numerous events in Scripture that remind us of service. But you know, the greatest of these for me is John 13, the washing of the disciples' feet, where Jesus showed the most wonderful act of service and best of all, humility. And we are to do as Jesus did. God has placed you here. He's placed me in Ballymoney. What is your motivation to serve? Am I looking for a church that meets my needs and blesses me? Or am I looking for a place to serve and be a blessing? The church would be a wonderful place if everyone had that second option in their lives, to look for a place to serve and be a blessing. What is your service in this place? From our reading, there's this verse, two verses. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. Do you know, sometimes I feel ashamed of myself because I see someone who is not like me and I give them a wide berth because I really don't know how to handle them. But a New Horizon, the conference up in Korean, a number of years ago, a tramp appeared within the premises. And this tramp would have been just walking along the corridor or sitting on a seat. He would have been outside the main auditorium. And nobody went near him. Nobody spoke to him. Nobody was concerned about him. And this was a Christian conference. The shock that people had when all of a sudden this tramp walked on to the stage and started to take off his old clothes and his false beard. It was one of the guys who was on the mission stall had arranged this. And it was a very salutary lesson for all who sat in front of them. And I think people learned a lot that night when they saw what had been done. What would you have done? Would you have given a cup of cold water? Would you have given a kind word? Would you have given hospitality? That's what God wants us to do. Hebrews 13 and 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You know, God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we're capable of, because it is He who gives us the strength to do all that He asks. He created us. He called us. He commissions us. You know, people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. It's as simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are a God who made us and made us to serve you, to love you, to obey you and glorify you. But you made us, Lord, because you first loved us. And Father, we thank you too that you called us to yourself, that you've called us to love others, and that you have given us a task to witness for you where we are. Lord, we thank you for your love. Amen.